Fabulous stuff, Nooney. And before that, we had A Place in the Sun. And it's been a sunny day today. And I'm sure Jasmine is wishing she can go back out and look at those holiday homes, aren't you?
Hopefully quite soon, yes. Once everything's opened up and it's safe to go, we'll be back out filming, no doubt.
I suppose you didn't do any filming at all last year, did you?
Oh, last year, yeah, we did. We did, in between lockdowns. So we were filming right up until the first lockdown, then we all came back, and then we went back out in the summer when it was all opened up again, from sort of August until just before Christmas we were filming, but we haven't done any this year so far, obviously.
We keep our fingers crossed that things start to open up soon.
Yes, indeed. Well, yeah, we've got a new series of all the stuff that we filmed last year is going out next month, so... yeah, so hopefully there'll be some new ones for people to watch, because it's all quite a lot of repeats at the moment.
Yeah. Now, your website, Help for Hoarders, has just been relaunched, as it were. And, of course, I remember watching the programme. I watched it on YouTube this week, but it went out about 10 years ago about your mum Vasula's hoarding. So yeah. did you grow up with this throughout your teenage years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it started even, you know, earlier than that. But I think I became more conscious of it when I was a teenager, and also that's when I began to sort of realise that not everybody's home was the way ours was, and, you know, started feeling a bit embarrassed and ashamed and didn't want to let friends come over and things like that. So that's when it really started to affect me, was in my teens. But it's, you know, it's been going on really all my life.
And I'm
quite old now, so quite a long time.
You and me both. What sort of things was your mum keeping hold of? Was it rubbish? Was it things that she had from a childhood? What sort of things was she keeping hold of?
Well, my mum lost a lot of the things that she had from childhood because of losing her dad when she was very young and coming to England from Cyprus. And then again, when she was sort of 8 or 9, going back to Cyprus to live with her grandparents. So she lost a lot of things at a young age, you know, and it was quite traumatic childhood. So she didn't really have anything from childhood to keep, but she did keep everything of ours. She used to keep things like magazines and fabric, you know, thinking, well, fabric is always useful, you can always make something out of it. There was always a plan, you know, or finding things like a, you know, an old chair or something that someone had thrown out, but all it needed was reupholstering and then it would be fine again. Do you see what I mean? It was the sort of, there was always a thing about not wanting to waste, which is, you know, something that we can all take away from, but really becoming overwhelmed and never really getting the time to do all the things that she planned to do with all the things, all the items that she kept. Sometimes it was things like vouchers, you know, that were on the packet of a something or that were in the newspaper, and then you'd keep the whole newspaper. It was all sorts of things. And then things like teapots. My mum's got collections of teapots and doll's house things and crystals, and different people are drawn to different items. You know, some of the hoarders that I met during the filming of the series, Britain's Biggest Hoarders, some of them liked keeping electrical items. For some, it was clothing. You know, for some, it was recycling, like metal and plastic and things like that. So it does really vary from person to person, but most people who experience hoarding behaviour, they do keep everything they can, really.
That lady, I think her name was Olive, if my mind serves me correctly.
Olive, yeah.
She was very good at distracting you from actually trying to clear stuff out, wasn't she?
Extremely good. Olive, she is still going, thankfully, and she's in a flat now. But, you know, she had all the best intentions. Her idea was to pick up litter, take it to be recycled. She would get money for it. For the tin and steel cans that she would collect, and she would donate it to an animal charity. So, you know, there was a kind of a rationale behind it, as there often is, but, you know, there was just no system in place for keeping her home livable. And it was, you know, very, very difficult for her to change, because she'd been doing that for all her life.
Is there, do you think there's a difference between a hoard and a collection? I collect records, I have a room full of them at home, but I can find everything. Whereas hoards just seem to be mounds of things. Do you think there's a difference between the two?
I'll tell you what the main differences are. And a collection is usually one type of thing, or maybe someone might have one or two collections, but not numerous different types of things. Whereas hoarding is often just lots and lots and lots of different types of things. A collector usually keeps their collection organised, whereas someone with hoarding behaviour, everything will be quite haphazard. And the most important thing is that a collector is usually very proud of their collection, and they want to show people and they want to share it with people, whereas somebody with hoarding disorder is often wanting to hide their stuff from people and keep people out because they're ashamed very often.
Yeah, I've been into one hoarded house. I buy and sell records for a living. And I went in, it was a couple of years ago now, and the chap had been moved out of this house because it had been so compromised by the amount of material that was in there. And he collected papers and documents and other things. And there was a room at the front, and I got into this room. And around the edge of the room were clippings and newspapers and cuttings and all sorts of things in carrier bags, but stacked. I went into this room and said, oh, it's not too bad in here. He said the room was full and the ceiling was bowing, and he didn't know what he had. So there's obviously a trigger there, isn't there? There'd been a trigger in his life to hoard this stuff, and he bought stuff and never used it. I bought loads of records that were still in the shrink wrap, and CDs in the shrink wrap, not used, with the receipt with it. So
I think for a lot of people, the pleasure that they get out of the acquisition of something, you know, you get a little high from it. It's like, you know, I'm sure everyone can relate to that. If you go shopping and you find like a lovely pair of shoes, you know, I'm talking about myself now, that's on sale, and you know, you get a little rush from it. And for a lot of people who hoard, they have had a trigger, and it might be something like a trauma, or it could be a loss, like a bereavement, or a loss of a job, or a loss of a breakdown of a relationship. But there's so many different triggers, and so quite often collecting things is in a way sort of metaphorically and physically filling a hole in their lives. And actually the acquisition of something makes them feel good temporarily, and that's why there is quite often a case where people buy something and then they forget about it, or it gets lost amongst all the other stuff, because the actual having the item isn't necessarily the most important bit. It's the enjoyment and the pleasure gained from acquiring something. And then the fear and the anxiety around letting things go is so great that you just end up with more and more and more things.
I must admit, I love buying records, and I'm desperate to go to London to buy records again once all the lockdown restrictions have been lifted. And I suppose it's a little bit, although I do keep mine in order and I know where things are, there's nothing stacked and piled up. So that's, I think there's that difference, isn't there, between hoarding and collecting. Now, your website, Help for Hoarders, has just been sort of relaunched. Tell us about that and what sort of things that can help people on your website.
Well, the website, I set up the website just after the broadcast of the first documentary, because I was approached by so many people that I couldn't help everybody individually, and I didn't know what to do, so I thought, this is something that I can do. So the main point of the website is there's a members forum where it's a safe place where people can register anonymously, and they can share their experiences, and everybody on there is really understanding and supportive and helpful, and there's lots of stories on there. You don't have to be a member to read it. But you do have to be a member to contribute. And as well as the forum, which is sort of the heart of the site, there's lots of information. You can watch the documentaries. There's reading lists. There's websites. There are things like what to do if you're friends and family of someone and you're affected by someone else's hoarding. There's self-help tips with things to do if you want to do something yourself. And there's also lists of therapists and declutterers and things like that, things that if you want to seek help from outside. So hopefully there is something for everyone on there that's affected by hoarding. There's some self-help videos with a type of therapy called emotional freedom technique. There's practical advice. So, you know, for, it's really for anyone. And what's nice about our community online is that there are people who hoard, and there are also family members of people who hoard. And what's quite nice about that is that they can each see each other's opinion. Whereas when you're quite close to someone and you're, you know, emotionally invested, like for me, as with my mum, there was a lot riding on it, so we used to end up arguing. Whereas if I would talk to somebody that I'm not emotionally connected with, in some ways it helped me to see the wood for the trees a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that goes both ways. So for someone who has hoarding behaviour, to speak to a relative of someone else who has hoarding behaviour and understand how it affects them, it makes them realise how it affects their own family, and vice versa. You know, if somebody who is trying to clear out their parents or their partners or whoever's stuff speaks to somebody else and understands how difficult that is for them, it gives them more insight into to helping their own loved one.
And it takes that emotional family attachment away from it, because you can lose your rag or get annoyed with a parent or a son or a daughter or whatever.
Trust me, I've been there a thousand times.
Yeah.
Really easy to, especially if you are in a situation where you're having to live amongst someone else's possessions and you don't have any space of your own. And it sort of seems like, well, why, this is what it seemed to me when I was still living at home, why are my mum's feelings and my mum's right to have her things more important than my right to have the way things the way I want, and my right to have my own privacy and my own space, and you know, be able to use the rooms in our house, like the bathroom and the kitchen, without being encumbered by all the stuff that was there. But I think the thing that sort of really helped me to get a bit more clarity on the situation was, first of all, when I moved out of home, I could see things a bit better, and I stopped blaming myself for it. But also I realised and I began to understand that my mum wasn't doing it on purpose, and that she was actually struggling with mental health issues. And it was only, you know, in 2013 that the DSM recognised hoarding disorder, and it was only in 2018 that the World Health Organization recognised it. So it's relatively still quite a new diagnosis that people can have. And, you know, the treatment is still, you know, it's still different things seem to work for different people. There's no sort of really fail-safe treatment program to go with it. So, you know, I think that there has to be understanding on both sides. And I think, you know, to say to somebody, just get rid of it, it's just trash, you know, throw it away, when they have attachments to it, you know, it can be very detrimental to force someone to throw stuff out or to have a clearance.
Yeah.
Without their cooperation.
And the problem is, people can look at it from the outside and go, that's just, as you say, that's just rubbish. But I remember watching the first hoarded house you went into was in St Albans, wasn't it? Alan. All that stuff in the front garden, books that have got soaking wet. You think, well, that's no good. But in his mind, they were. So you've got to get around that, haven't you?
And it's very difficult to do that. And some people who hoard have more insight than others, but really the clearing part of the process is the final stage. It's really the last step, because if you do it the other way around, you're taking away someone's coping mechanism. That is, you know, and it's been proven that I think it was something like 97% of people who had their homes who had their homes cleared out forcibly managed to re-hoard the house pretty quickly. So it doesn't work, that forced clearance. You have to work on the mental side of things first in order to get anywhere, really. So I think that's, you know, for me, many times throughout my younger life, I, you know, we spoke about, can we not just get a skip and get rid of all this stuff because it's all junk? And that was really, you know, really damaging for my mum. I realise now that it actually made her feel very insecure in her situation, and then she felt that actually needed to collect even more stuff to be, to have that security. And so, you know, it does sort of feel like sometimes you've got to tiptoe around it, but I think, you know, there are on the website lots of different strategies that you can try, questions that you can ask yourself if you're trying to let something go, and, you know, tips for friends and family members on how to deal with a relative or a loved one who is experiencing compulsions to hoard.
And I think when the programmes that I watched that you presented, you went in there with sympathy and understanding, which is, you know, I can remember about 20 years ago, the programme about Mr. Treebus, when he was looked on as being a bit of a freak, and they didn't kind of look at what was behind it. Whereas you've gone in with that knowledge and been sympathetic with people, which I think has helped many people.
It has helped many people, and, you know, for me, I didn't realise for many, many, many years, decades, that I just thought my mum was messy. I didn't understand that it was mental health condition. I didn't realise that she had such strong attachment to the possessions, and it was only really, you know, as I became more aware of what was going on, that I realised. And, you know, there were programmes like How Clean Is Your House and The Life Laundry and all these sorts of hoarding, people that were hoarding and that were probably suffering from mental illness, and a TV show would go in and just rip everything out. And, you know, and probably some of those people, you know, it probably did them more harm than good in the long run. I think My Hoarder Mum and Me and Britain's Biggest Hoarders, which are available to watch on the website, went with a completely different approach, and it was the first time that anyone in the UK had gone in with the psychological side of it taken into account, as well as the physical side of all the stuff. And my mum won an award for speaking out from the charity Mind for taking part in the programmes, and she was so brave to do that, and because nobody had spoken about it before from that perspective. And I think, you know, that was demonstrated by the response after the documentaries first went out. And I still get people today coming up to me in the street and saying, oh, by the way, how's your mum these days? How's she getting on, you know? So I think it really touched a lot of people and opened the lid on something that had up until then been really shameful.
Taboo, absolutely. Yeah. Has your mum stopped hoarding now? Does she still do it occasionally, or what's the situation now?
No, she still does have a lot of stuff. It's not gone away. There is no magic cure and there is no quick fix. She is working on it. She's been working on her mindfulness and you know, she's been doing a lot of work independently on it. But it is still there. It's still something that we live with. I personally feel that my job is not to clear at my mum's house anymore. I don't take that as my responsibility anymore, because that was a real burden on me as well, and I used to feel guilty that I wasn't doing enough or that I hadn't achieved it, and I used to feel like a failure. Now I've absolved myself of that responsibility, and my responsibility is to have a really loving relationship with my mum, to have time with my mum, to have, you know, we haven't been able to have time together, you know, this year. But we are going to meet up in the garden next week, which will be great. And for my mum to have, you know, some time out from that stuff, to see her grandchildren, to have a loving relationship instead of our relationship being totally dominated by
all
her
the stuff.
House.
Yeah.
And so that's the way we've approached it. She's still working on it. She's very insightful about it. She's in a good place mentally.
Hopefully
we'll get there with the house.
That's
one day. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. So, Help for Hoarders website, what's the address for it and how can people find it?
It's helpforhoarders.co.uk. You can just go onto the internet. There's a welcome. It explains all about what hoarding is. And you can find help on there. You can go onto the forum. If you're friends and family, there's stuff on there as well. And there's lots of different resources on there for people, depending on what they feel comfortable with. In terms of help from the psychological, mental health point of view, as well as the practical side of things. So well, it's all there on the website.
Fabulous stuff. Well, it's great that you've done this, and as I say, it's, you know, helped a lot of people over the past decade or so, to, you know, families and people that hoard as well. So it's fabulous stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, and you can also find Help for Hoarders on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. Yeah. So, you know, as well as on the website. So I really do hope that was the whole purpose of it, was to help as many people as possible and to raise awareness and destigmatise hoarding. So I feel like we're getting there slowly.
Yeah, and as I say, it's great that it's been now recognised as a medical condition, so that'll help people as well. So
absolutely.
Which is great stuff. Well, thank you very much, Jasmine.
And thanks for having me on.
No problems. Speak to you soon. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you, bye.
Bye. H-